Sunrise with Shona on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7, and I hope that you're all well after that unexpected cold snap this week. Today I'm going to start by looking at our tongues. Interesting place to start. Just think of your tongue for a moment. What do we use our tongues for? I had never realized how important the tongue was until I had COVID in terms of taste. Without being able to taste, I found myself going around trying to find something that I could eat that would give me some sense of satisfaction. Because obviously I think the reason we eat is because we can taste it and it tastes good. And so I realized the second time I had COVID and I really couldn't taste anything for weeks, how important and what an amazing gift it is that we can taste things. Sweet, sour, salty, hot, cold. And I was surprised by the effect it had on me when that gift was taken away. The tongue is also versatile. It's an important organ in our body and a small organ in our body, and it is probably one of the most dangerous organs we have. When we gossip or spread untruths, we can literally ruin people's lives and worse. When we break children down instead of building them up, we can wound them in such a way that they can't function as adults and they have deep-seated issues. The tongue can cause a relationship to blossom and flourish, or it can destroy it. I think if we really think about it, the tongue can also cause wars in the sense in which propaganda is spread. There's a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I think that's absolutely not true. And I'm sure we've all experienced that. Words can definitely hurt us. Now, when we look at Jesus sometimes speaks quite harsh words, and we're going to see that later this morning as we look at what he says in Mark, when he says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. And we saw it last week when he was quite harsh with that woman who came, Syrophoenician woman. She wanted her child healed from a demon, and he basically called her a dog. And we saw the grace in her response. But Jesus is God, and I'm not here to judge anything Jesus says or doesn't say. And there's always, if we put it in context, there's a reason for the way he behaved and the things he said. But when it comes to us, we're not God. And so we need wisdom in how we speak. When I look at Jesus with that Syrophoenician woman, he had come for the Jewish people. He was the Jewish Messiah. Perhaps he didn't have time at that stage, and it was only later that his ministry became all-inclusive. And when we look at his comment to Peter, he's in a place where he knows that he's going to be betrayed, where he's going to be crucified. He knows what's coming, and he doesn't need the distraction of someone who's only looking at things from a human perspective, saying, don't do this, that can't happen. Because he knows what his role is. And so he, out of that space, speaks to Peter in the way he does. But as I said, for you and I, we're humans, and we need wisdom. We need extreme wisdom when we use this powerful gift that we've been given of speech and our tongues. It's an amazing gift, but we do need wisdom. Now, I want to look at a reading from the Wisdom of Solomon, because it is such a beautiful reading that I felt I needed to share it with you this morning. And it comes from what we call the Apocrypha, not part of the normal Bible, but I know in the Anglican Church and I know in the Roman Catholic Church, we recognize the Apocrypha as a place where you can go to receive wisdom from God. So this is what is written. Wisdom is the brightness that shines forth from eternal light. She's a mirror that flawlessly reflects God's activity. Now remember, if we are walking and living and having our being in God, and we are only doing what God tells us to do and moving in the wisdom of God, we are transformed more and more into the image and likeness of Christ. And so we reflect God. And here we're told wisdom is a mirror that flawlessly reflects God's activity. She's the perfect image of God's goodness. If we're walking in the wisdom of God, then we will reflect God's goodness. She can do anything since she's one and undivided. She never changes and yet she makes everything new. Generation after generation, she enters souls and shapes them into God's friends and prophets. God doesn't love anything as much as people who make their home with wisdom. How important is that for us? We think of Solomon when we think of this. God doesn't love anything as much as people who make their home with wisdom. I think that's something that we should all be asking for each and every day, that wisdom. She's more splendid than the sun, more wonderful than the arrangement of the stars. She's even brighter than the sunlight, for night follows day, but evil can never overcome wisdom. So if we are walking in the way of God, in the wisdom of God, evil can never overcome us, because what we do, what we say, who we are, is filled with the wisdom of God. She stands strong from one end of the world to the other. She's a marvelous governor over everything in between. And so I just want to quickly point out some of the things that come out of this for me. God doesn't love anything as much as people who make their home with wisdom. We need to, as I've said, make our home with wisdom, with God, living and having our very being in God, and therefore our thoughts, our words, our deeds are all going to reflect that we are one with God. Imagine if we all had wisdom at this time. The world would be a very different place. All our decisions would be based on God's wisdom, not human emotion or our whims, how we feel that day. We would be making the right decision, good decisions. And wisdom is that perfect image of God's goodness. I just love that she's more splendid than the sun, more wonderful than the arrangement of the stars. It just shows us how much we need to value wisdom, how much we need to be asking for that gift, how much we need to be rooted in God, moving in the wisdom, the knowledge, and the love of God. As we reflect on that coming up now on the Mighty Hot 107, here I am to worship.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.
Here I am to worship on the Mighty Hot 107. Good morning. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. And if you've just joined me this morning, we've begun by looking at how much God values wisdom. And I think we saw that when we looked at Solomon and he asked for wisdom. God didn't just give him wisdom. God gave him long life and prosperity and deep respect. He said, there'll never be another king like you during your time. And so God rewarded Solomon for asking for that gift. And I've spoken about how we need to ask for that gift and how God really loves people who have wisdom in their homes. I'm moving now to Proverbs 1, and I'm just going to share a few verses because they also mention wisdom. Out of the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you, who are simple, love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate rebuke? Repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you, and I will make known to you my teachings. Here again, we have this wonderful promise, if you like, that if we let go of all our own foolishness, if you like, our own humanity, looking at things from a human perspective, and we repent and turn back to God, we will have God's thoughts. They will be made known to us. We will have God's teachings, and therefore, obviously, we will be moving in the wisdom of God. And I do think at this time in our world, not just in our country, we truly need that wisdom of God. And then when we move to Psalm 19, I want to read from verse 9. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. So respect of the Lord, knowing who God is, acknowledging who God is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. Here again, it's God's way. The way that we've been brought up, the way that we've been taught, God's way, is firm, and they are righteous and filled with wisdom. I'm adding those words. They are more precious than gold. They are more pure than gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. But your servant is warned. We are given wisdom. In keeping them, there is great reward. So we've been given the wisdom of God through the commands of God, through the testimony of Jesus' life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we follow that way, we are being given the wisdom. But when we keep them, there is great reward. Who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. So what the psalmist is saying, and the psalmist is David, he's saying that sometimes we have faults that we're not even aware of. So please, God, forgive us for that. And then obviously willful sins, when we're aware that we're doing wrong, forgive us for that, that they will not rule over us. May, and this is the part I really wanted to read, verse 14, may these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I'm going to read those again. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I use that verse every time I'm going to preach, but I've come to understand that perhaps, just perhaps, we should be praying this every morning. That God, the words that I speak with my mouth, the meditation of my heart, and obviously if our heart's in the right place, the words that come out of us will be in the right place. So if our hearts are with God and our meditation of our hearts are right, So if our thoughts, our feelings are in the right place with God, may the words that we speak be pleasing to you, Lord, because you are our rock and our redeemer. Now imagine if we pray that prayer every single day. I can only imagine how different our day would be when we are conscious of making sure that our heart is in the right place with God, that what's going on in our hearts is right, filled with love for God and for others and also for ourselves, recognizing ourselves as wonderfully and beautifully created by God. And then out of that place of being right with God, our words and our actions will follow. And if we pray every day, may those words of our mouths, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. And we're saying to God, you are our rock and our redeemer. I think we'll have a much better day. And so before we move into James, coming up now on the Mighty Hot 1027, I love you, Lord.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.
I love you, Lord, on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and it is wonderful to be with you on this beautiful Sunday morning. Today I'm looking at wisdom, and I'm going to look more deeply now at the role that the tongue plays in wisdom, and quite a harsh teaching from the book of James. So it's James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and the title that my Bible has given it, obviously this isn't in the original text, but the title my Bible gave it is Taming the Tongue. So listen to these words, they are harsh. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's obviously aimed at someone like myself and any of us that are teaching in any way. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. I actually don't know anyone who's never at fault. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. So let's think about that. I mean, I did do horse riding, and I don't actually like the bit in the mouth of the horse, but it's there for a reason. We can make the horse turn right or left, go forward. And obviously, it's a small thing that we put in the mouth of the horse, but it can make the horse move in different directions. Or take ships for an example. Although they're so large and driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And I don't know if, like me, you've been watching the news of these orcas that are attacking ships. They eat the rudder, they break it, and their ships are just left. They can't go anywhere. So we know how important that rudder is to the ship. And when I was on a cruise last year, I also saw that. I mean, it's a very small part of the ship that actually makes that enormous thing change direction. Likewise, we're told, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great bursts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. I had read when I was young, I was fascinated by Australia, and I used to read about the redwood forests and how they are so, so strict that there's not one small spark that goes, because that whole forest can burn. And we know that even here in this country. One, you know, you drop one burning cigarette and you can set a whole town alight when it's a dry season. So we know that, and we've been told that's the power of the tongue. The tongue also is a fire. It could be a world of evil among the parts of the body. It can corrupt the whole body, setting the whole course of one's life on fire, and in itself set on fire by hell. How important is it to be careful of what we say? Here we're told that it can corrupt the whole body, even though it's such a small organ in the body. It has tremendous power. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures have been tamed and have been tamed by humankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise the Lord our Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salty spring produce fresh water. Obviously, this is the wisdom of God that we've been told in James. Be very, very careful of our tongue. It has huge power and therefore huge implications for our life. And I've said before, a tongue can, things we say, how we express ourselves, and that comes from what we're thinking and feeling. How we express ourselves can either make our lives or ruin our lives. And we need to be really, really careful of the power of the tongue. We need to be careful and ask for wisdom so that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts are pleasing in the sight of God. We move quickly then into Mark, where Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. So Jesus and his disciples are around the village of Caesarea Philippi, and he asks them, "Who do people say I am?" And they reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others the prophets, and I've spoken about that before, so I'm not going into it today." But then he says, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Messiah." Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone." But then he begins to teach them that he's going to suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He speaks plainly about this. Peter takes him aside. Now you can imagine Peter. This is the person he's followed for 3 years. He doesn't want this to happen. It doesn't sound like a very good ending for Jesus in Peter's mind, looking at things from a human perspective. So you can't blame Peter for this. But so Peter takes him aside and begins to rebuke him and says, "No, no, Lord, this can't happen." And then Jesus turns and looks at them and he rebukes Peter and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." And here again, I think we are looking at the wisdom of God. We need to recognize that what we see is not a full picture. We can go to 1 Corinthians 13, where we are told that what we see here, we see dimly and only in part, but then we will see fully and we will know in full. And I think we need to remember that we're seeing through human eyes, through the human perspective, and our vision is narrower than the vision of God. So when things happen that we don't understand, we need to remember these words that Jesus said to Peter. Just make sure that you have in mind the concerns of God, not merely human concerns, because that is what is directing our lives. That's who God is. And so we need to have the wisdom to recognize that we don't have the full picture here on earth. So when things happen, be careful of the words we speak into those situations. And we need to remain faithful to God, trusting and obeying God, and knowing that ultimately all things work together for the good of those who love God. I hope and pray that you've enjoyed being with me this morning. I've certainly enjoyed being with you. I love delving into wisdom. I think it's something that is really, really important in our lives. I also like the reminder for myself. Be careful of the words I speak. There's tremendous power in the tongue. I pray that you have a wonderful week. I ask that God blesses you and protects you and your family. And to wrap up this morning, change my heart, O God, and the Lord is my shepherd. When God is our shepherd, we will be walking in the wisdom of God because we will be following Jesus, our shepherd. And if you need to get hold of me, you can do so on shona@hot1027.co.za. God bless.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.